The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
Here we are, third hour of the live Chris Perillo Show. First time we're taking live calls here, 888-747-4556. That's 888-PERILLO. In order to participate, you got to know how to spell my name. And, of course, the more information can be found at thechrisperilloshow.com. We got all sorts of information there, including a ton of archives of past week's shows and many interviews that we've done across the time that we've been doing the Chris Perillo Show. So we've also got a chat room that's linked there on the main page, lockernome.com, I think, /community/chat. Or like I said, just go to thechrisperilloshow.com, and we'll link you directly to there. Not a problem at all. Again, the number, 888-747-4556. I know way too many 888 numbers. I can't even keep them straight. I almost gave him my personal 888 number.
Oh, that could be
fine. I wouldn't want to do that because, you know, if you're going to call the Chris Perillo line, because that's, you know, and don't try to leave a voicemail because you won't even get prompted for a voicemail. We don't have voicemail. And so you can only do it, you know, when we're going live. And speaking of going live, we do have another caller who's waiting on the line, Adrian in Phoenix, Arizona.
How's it going?
It's going well. For the most part, we're still around. We're still moving forward with the show, and no major hiccups as of yet.
That's good.
That's very good. So you've got a question specifically about Linux.
Yes. On one of my, not my main machine, but one of my secondary machines, I run Ubuntu 5.04, and it's got an NVIDIA graphics card in it. And for some reason, I cannot get it out of 640 by 480.
Okay, so you're booting into GNOME by default?
Yes.
With that installation of Ubuntu, and by the way, folks, we're talking about a flavor of Linux that I guess mentioned briefly earlier in the show, I think, with Ted from Mississippi. Ubuntu, I think... I remember installing KDE from within Ubuntu, another interface to the, I guess, GUI or X Windows. Have you tried going into KDE yet, or have you just gone in through GNOME, or GNOME, I should say?
Actually, it's X Windows. It's not letting me change the resolution.
Do anything at all?
Yeah, because what I'll do is I'll... Cause what happens is in GNOME or KDE, either actually any of the window managers, it won't even let me change the resolution. And when I go into the config file for X Windows or X386
yeah,
or whatever it's
sure.
called, and manually change it, it's like, okay, and it accepts it. And then when I go to restart it, it just goes right back to 640 by 480.
Are you running it from the hard drive then?
Yes.
And it's rewriting that file?
No, the values are still there. That's what's strange.
Hmm.
Everything thinks it's in like 1024 by 768, but it's not.
That one's a tricky one.
Yeah.
Have you okay? So you've got the NVIDIA. Let's see. You've done it on just this one machine. It's just this one machine that this problem is manifesting itself. Boy, oh boy.
And the real kicker is with other distributions, like if I do Red Hat or Mandriva or pretty much Debian, pretty much any other distribution, it works beautifully.
So
I
wonder if it's an issue then with, if not the version of the drivers that are currently running with the install, but just a conflict with... Ubuntu, and I guess maybe if not that version of the drivers... I mean, since you said that, you know, if you run it on like another flavor of sorts, then you would you don't have that issue. The conflict must be within Ubuntu at this point. There may be a configuration issue with the way it's using or accessing the driver. Specifically, I couldn't tell you where. My proficiency in Linux is not that incredibly deep in terms of, you know, telling you beyond editing that particular config file and handwriting the resolution. I've had to do that at certain points in the past when installing, like, if it wasn't Nopix or Ubuntu, it was another, what was it? Maybe it was Nopix. I was having issues as well where I wanted to set it at a certain resolution, and you need to do it almost sometimes it's even the case where if you don't do it during the install process or at some stage during the install process, you can't fall back to it. I remember hitting that issue too, where I wanted to go to, I think the resolution was like 1600 by 1200. And if I didn't do it at some point during like one of the first boots, then it wouldn't, you'd have to do it at a certain time or it just wouldn't work, which is, you know, part of the beauty and the quirkiness of Linux. I would have to, for this particular issue, and I'd imagine though it is tied into Ubuntu and specifically, if not this version of the video driver, then possibly even the video driver itself, there's most likely something that needs to happen in between the point A and point B, basically.
Yeah.
As to what it is, I wish I knew.
Well, I've actually gone to NVIDIA's site and downloaded their latest Linux driver because it's an NVIDIA GeForce FX5200.
Okay.
I've actually gone to their site and downloaded that driver and installed it. And like I said, I'm really banging my head against the wall here going, why is this thing not going into the resolution I'm setting it for?
Well, you know, that it's a deep question. I'm going to pass that on to one of the guys who at least writes for Lockernome, Jebber, writes very deeply about Linux. And if he doesn't know what the issue might be, then he certainly would know how to figure it out. This is, like I said, most likely, when I've run into this problem, in fact, I try to install the B operating system and had the same issue, that if I didn't do a certain like keyboard command at the right time, and obviously B operating system is not Linux, but sometimes if the video drivers aren't configured or written to the right way,
it is very nice, though.
They fall back. Oh, certainly. You mean Ubuntu itself?
No.
What was that?
B is very nice.
Oh, B, OS, yes. I'm sorry. I ended up not using it because I had to do that every time I booted up. I had to hit, like, it was like some weird, like, control F1 escape, and then I'd have to edit a file and say, go into this mode, but not this mode. I had to pick this color depth, not that color depth. Well, maybe that's, that's a consideration, too. Had you tried both 32 and 16, like, in terms of your color depth, not just your resolution? Okay, and either way, it was kind of not working.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
And the strange thing is, when I ran the autoconfig utility, it detects everything beautifully. It's like, all right. And for whatever reason, I'm thinking I'm ready to chalk it up as a bug to Ubuntu because it just isn't.
Yeah. Most likely, you're not the only one suffering from it. Is there a reason you're running Ubuntu other than it's pretty slick?
Actually, I do the Linux blog, and I was playing with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was going to call in.
Yeah. Well, I wish I had a more definitive answer for you. Unfortunately, that's not my specific area of expertise. But
that's all right.
I'm not surprised that would be an issue. Video drivers and have been notorious, in quote unquote alternative to Windows operating systems for quite a while, and that's probably going to continue for the foreseeable future. At least it's good to see NVIDIA and ATI kind of embracing that officially. At one point, they weren't even doing that.
Well, I just downloaded all of the Debian 3.0 Woody CDs, so I think I'm going to install that instead.
Because you're what was it? What was the old one? It was Hori.
Yeah,
Hori, and then you had to switch it. I remember going from a slightly older version of Ubuntu to the new one, and actually I was running it on a virtual PC, which amplifies any particular video issue that you might run into. But certainly it's worked pretty well. But at least that should be a pretty seamless upgrade. It shouldn't be an issue. At least at that point. Unless, of course, there's an issue with Ubuntu specifically in the whole install routine. If you don't do it, if you don't do one thing at a certain time, it's not going to be happy. I'll ask Jebber. He usually knows where to steer people to, and he may either know of the bug, which is kind of strange because I'm sure there are tons of bugs out there. But if not, he'd probably be able to point us in the right direction.
Cool.
All right. Well, sorry I couldn't help you any further, but
That's all right.
If you do get the issues resolved, let me know how it went. And I'll be sure to share that information.
Sure thing.
All right, thanks again. So we've been quite busy here tonight. In fact, taking two questions that kind of related to Linux. Well, one wasn't really a question about Linux, but usually those things are the reason why you know, Linux is good for tinkerers, people like Adrian, you know, who love tinkering with things, who love to play with all sorts of new pieces of software, like Ubuntu, a great installation of Linux, great for newbies, no doubt about it. The default interface that, you know, you boot up into is GNOME, which is almost non-traditional. Most commercial applications that you see are of Linux, that is the forward-facing UI, is KDE. And what you have to understand about Linux is that it isn't like Windows, really. Linux is got this core, and then upon which you can build all sorts of things, including a user interface. So there are, you know, a handful of user interfaces that you can run on top of the core that is Linux. KDE being one, GNOME being another. There's also Icewind, just a plethora of opportunities to interface with the files on your hard drive. Windows just kind of gives you just this one package. It's like, here you go. It's the Explorer shell. That's all you get. And in many ways, it's good for a lot of consumers because they know what they're going to get. But there's also, for power users like Adrian and myself, you don't have a lot of the freedom that you get with something that's open source that everybody can develop for and everybody can, you know, make a greater experience for everybody else. But of course, then you also run into problems. And yeah, it's video is not easy. It's never easy. So I wish Adrian the best of luck, and I'll definitely ask Jebber what's going on with that. So I think Ponzi's going to be happy about the next call that we have on the line, and maybe she could tell me why she's going to be happy.
Because Captain Orion has called in. Because instead of you answering everyone's questions, he's going to tell you what to do about our wire mess.
Oh, so you really believe we have a wire mess around here, Ponzi?
Oh my God, we have nests.
It's not that bad.
People, it's ridiculous.
It's not that bad.
People, I will take pictures and show
Fine,
you.
Fine, take pictures, Ponzi. It's not that... I'm telling you, dude, there's far worse houses out there.
That's the next post on my blog.
I've got...
The
you
next
know,
post will
you've
be
got a,
pictures of all the freaking wire
you've
mess.
Got, but you, no, I've got rid of a lot of them. You got... You got a wireless keyboard and a mouse? I can only make so many things wire. In fact, I went out of my... No.
I had to beg.
I went out of my... You didn't have to beg for it. We had it. I went out of my way to replace the keyboard and mouse that came with our iMac, which you've yet to play with because we haven't
had
time.
No, I have played with it.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Really?
For about 10 minutes.
Oh, and then you got bored or had something else to do?
I had 50 million things to do.
I know.
No,
well, it's great for watching movies. You know, you can watch high resolution on that screen. It'll come across way better than it would on the television that we have in our bedroom.
Everything seems sharper and
well, it's because it's
prettier.
It's LCD, and you're also the resolution is very, very high. So you're compacting a lot of information into a smaller amount of space.
I do have to
say,
though,
sharper.
I absolutely love the X40, the IBM ThinkPad.
Like in terms of its size?
Just because it's been light and it's done every single thing that I needed it to do when I was out on the road.
And why I feel good about it is because it's IBM. It's a rock-solid product. Unlike, unfortunately, who was it? Called in one of the first caller, Userbin Geek with a Sony Vaio. Sony isn't great with support.
But they look so cool. Yeah. I really like the way those look.
So you basically have did you call Van from Minnesota, or did he call us?
Van called us.
Van?
Yep.
So are you going to give me hell about all these wires or what?
Tell him, Van.
Well,
So what are your suggestions?
I got the same problem as you,
okay.
Pretty much,
okay.
I think. What I've done, you know, zip ties. I've done like zip tying, like everything kind of neatly at least. I don't know how well that'll work, but you know, it's an idea.
Oh, zip Another ties, idea. Yeah. Well, you know, actually, one of the guys who crashed Gnome Dex the first year we did it, he had like a Velcro ties. So,
oh, there you go.
Yeah, it was they were specifically designed where one end had kind of it was a little thinner, and then the other end had a hole. So you basically strung it through the hole and then wrapped it around. I guess that's one way of doing it. But she doesn't want wires at all. Like she wants
no wires at all.
Yeah, she. I mean,
well, okay. Then you need wireless router and all wireless laptops, and you're done.
Yeah, that's what I figure. Yeah, I've got around a lot. You know, there's only so much you can do. I mean, I literally cannot live. I mean, I've got like a, you know, on one of my PCs, I've got like a tablet, like a Wacom tablet, and you know, it has to be wired. I have, although someone has told me my mouse is currently wired. I've got like an IntelliMouse Explorer 4.0, which I'm not very impressed with. But someone told me that the laser mouse from I think Logitech is just an impressive piece of hardware. I haven't, unfortunately, taken a look at it, but I can only wirelessly her so much.
That's true. That, I have to agree with that. It's not easy to dewire,
you know,
yourself.
It isn't. But she's got a wireless keyboard mouse. Right now, she at this point, I haven't really messed around with anything on the inside of her computer. But when we move, most likely I will have her connected over the G network. Right now, she's just since we've got our router in there, it's just a single cable that runs. But it's almost impossible to dewire yourself. It's like of everything. I mean, especially like the more peripherals you add, like her phone needs to be connected. Terms of syncing and charging,
sure.
And that's where she starts to get frustrated. She sees all these cables and wires.
Right. Well, charging you can't really do too much about. But as far as syncing, I mean, a lot of things now are. I mean, I know with Active Sync and everything, I have an old iPad 3630. kind of a dinosaur, but if I hook up like a wireless, like a compact flash wireless to it, I can, through my network, I can sync it over that.
I wonder, she's got internet access. I mean, we've got what is it? I think it's GSM. We've got Bluetooth on there, but I don't think ActiveSync has a Bluetooth conduit. It's not as friendly as it should be. Most likely. I mean, not like it is on OS X, where it's just like, oh, here you go, done.
You need to get your buddy Bill on that, huh?
Yeah, I know. I'm working on it. You know, it's funny. I was hoping that some people – now there's rumors that are being spread about GNOME Dex and something massive happening with Microsoft. It's news to me. I am gunning for – I think within – I'm going to go out on a limb, and within 5 years, I want to have Bill Gates come just even do a walk-on. At GNOME Dex. That's what I'm going for. That's the goal.
That'd be cool.
That's the ultimate. Yeah. I'd be done. You know, then I could stop doing GNOME Dex because that's all I wanted from it. So
then you can bring it back to Iowa.
You know, I feel so tossed up about that. And I've given Iowans a lot of grief, but I've done that for a lot of reasons. A lot of people, number one, some people think I still live there. Number two, Iowa has a big, big brain drain problem. They're losing a lot of people, not just the young people. I mean, people who have established themselves and have got families and are getting far better offers and opportunities outside the state. When I was there, I was fighting the machine. I was sitting there saying, you guys, you can't put your eggs in one basket. Big business is only going to get you so far. You know, you need to start investing in all these other smaller people, these smaller companies, these technologists who just love this stuff. Technology, and that was one of the reasons I started the show on WHO, was to highlight a lot of the local geeks, and they certainly appreciated it. But the problem was that message only got so far, and GNOME Dex was a manifestation of all that I believed in, that Iowa was this fantastic place for opportunities. But Iowa proved me wrong. I fought that battle for them. I said, yeah, I was this and I was that, and then they proved me wrong. So. I felt a little betrayed. And everybody has got a different experience. But as an entrepreneur, as someone who is as passionate about technology as I am, who enjoys this, who revels in it, it's very challenging to proselytize that to the masses if they're already in a certain mindset. And so what I do is I upset people just to get them talking. And just to get them to realize, just to kind of shake them up a bit and try to make them realize that they can create their own opportunities. I was interested at one point. I'm not as interested anymore because I did that. I played that card. I've been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. made the T-shirt, actually. I have a love-hate relationship with Iowa, certainly I love the people who are there, but unfortunately I think they're they're fighting a losing battle. I think Iowa is in trouble. And I've had these discussions at length with various – I mean, take, for instance, Jake. Jake lived in Iowa up until the point where I basically – Ponzi and I saw, you know, Seattle is a great opportunity for technology and, you know, wonderful people up here. A lot of cool stuff happens, and there's a lot of great things that we can do here in Seattle. We basically we said, Jake, this is kind of what we're doing, and he said, hey, that sounds like a good idea. And then on his own volition, moved his family – from Iowa to, you know, Washington, because the opportunities were there, and I don't have to fight people with, you know, with Gnomedex. It was like pulling teeth to get anything done, and here it's a given. I don't have to explain to somebody, no, Seattle's a great place for technology. They just know it, you know. And it's like, oh, it's closer to home than I think I wanted to feel in Iowa and what I wanted to do for Iowa. So I know I probably didn't say the right things the right way. I know what I was trying to say, and I know what I was trying to salvage, but, you know, I apparently I don't say things right 100% of the time. So I still love the Midwest.
Yeah, that's where I am. I mean, obviously. Yeah, I tried to get down there when you had Gnomedex in Iowa and Des Moines. But it was back during a point where I wasn't financially able to do it.
Certainly. No, and, you know, it's Gnomedex has definitely, you know, evolved over the years. And each year I can say it seems to get successively better. And unfortunately, I caught a lot of flack for this too, but Ponzi's been very level-headed throughout the entire experience, especially this year. Really, is her first time controlling many aspects of the conference. We took you talk about financially doing conferences is not cheap, and we ended up. I mean, when all was said and done, we probably lost more resources than we gained by doing the first three Gnomedexes in Iowa. Fantastic people, fantastic times, fantastic venues. I mean, everything was just absolutely just amazing. I could not have wanted, you know, for better experiences. But to be able to do it again, you know, we had to start doing things just slightly differently. And, you know, part of it was finding a new home for it. And you know, Seattle, I think, is you know, more than anything, and I think this year's numbers have proved it. The buzz that we've been generating has just been just staggeringly high.
Well, there's so many things to do around there. I mean, Redmond and everything. I mean, you can go see Microsoft. You can, you know, whatever. It's not, you don't have to just go to Gnomedex.
Have you been to Seattle yet?
No, I haven't. But that's one of the places I want to visit.
It is. You know, I tell you, they say come during the summer. Just because it's real, and the weather's very temperate, but you know, it's a place that you either get or you don't. I mean, I walked off a plane after the last Gnomedex, my second time in Seattle in my life. I walked off the plane and felt the city call to me in such a way that I've never. It's not like, you know, come to Seattle, come to Butthead. No, it was a feeling that I got when I literally stepped out of the airport, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And Seattle just changed my life. And I've yet to figure out why or how, but they say that all things happen for a reason. So, Van, I will definitely pass along your tidbits to Ponzi, and I'm certain she will appreciate that. Now, I'm probably going to have to go out and buy packages of Velcro, but I think
Velcro.
The next thing I'm going to have to unwire then is her network connection. That'll happen sooner.
Yeah, at least, one at a time, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, one at a time. There you go. Well, she's going to ask, why don't I have a monitor? Well, you want me to unwire. You're just going to have to guess to where your mouse is. I don't know. Van, thanks again for your support.
Hey, not a problem.
And keep listening.
Yep, will do.
Right, take care.
Yep.
It was Van over in Minnesota and trying to help unwire Ponzi's. She says it's a mess. I don't think it's a mess.
Oh, my God. Give it up. You know it is.
Ponzi, it is not a mess.
It's a freaking mess, dude.
No, it's not.
It is.
In fact, now you got people rallying for your cause. We've got Tim, a.k.a. is it Filefly?
Filefly. Is that the coolest nickname or what?
Oh, you like that. You don't even have a nickname, Ponzi. I mean, you've got Ponzi, but I mean...
That's what Ponzi is.
Is that your handle? Is that your whole online...
I guess. I don't know.
It is now.
It is now.
All right.
Ponzi scheme.
How are you doing tonight, Chris?
I'm doing well, Tim. So are you here to give me hell, too?
He's wielding an X-Acto.
He's what, Ponzi?
He's wielding an X-Acto.
Oh, great. Yeah, but we're on the radio, babe. He can't reach that far because he's in Pennsylvania. That's kind of far away from Seattle. So, Tim, you have some ideas as far as kind of unwiring or at least organizing the nests, as Ponzi calls them.
Well, I was explaining to her in the chat that I use garden hose. I just take an X-Acto knife and I slit it down the side and stick the wires in. It seems to work pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
And it's cheap and it holds up, you know.
Now, what color garden hose? Is it like one of those lime green garden hoses or...?
Yeah, it's that bright green stuff you can get at the hardware store.
So wait. Okay, now see, this is good, Tim. So, Ponzi, which would you rather have? Would you rather have the wire nest, or would you rather have a green garden hose?
Well, actually, I'm thinking we could take the green garden hose, but then what I would do is I'd find some nice cloth.
I'm sure you could just spray paint.
And then cover the garden hose with cloth.
He says spray paint it.
Why don't you cover it with duct tape?
Or duct tape.
Only a guy. Yeah. Only a guy. No. Back off with the duct tape.
She no likey to duct tape.
But, yeah, we could do that. Have you seen those? You've seen those little squishy cloth things that cover up lamps.
Well, you know, chances are... Yeah, but Ponzi...
Lamp cords.
At this point, I don't know if we really have to worry about it. When we move, it's going to seem like less wires just because we're not going to have everything in one room as we have it right now.
That's true.
Because it's a great suggestion, and I've seen things where you can get like runners that'll run alongside like the runners on the wall.
But they're expensive.
Yeah, I know.
What's expensive?
They're expensive. They're like runners that you run alongside the wall. Not only that, but I've had issues, Tim, where I'll need to unplug something, and then I just make a mess, and then I never put it away again.
Yep, that's how I am.
Yeah. What do you mean that's how you are?
I mean, if I have to get something out, I never bother to put it away.
Oh, boy.
You never know when you might have to do it again.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, so you might as well just leave them out in the first place.
Oh, come on. No.
Now, Tim, this is why you don't see a lot of women working in Best Buy's, wire organizing department. Because they'd be selling you lace and doilies, and you could cover it with a nice cloth and sprinkle it with some, tarragon.
Oh, my God. Careful. Careful.
Careful or what? Well, you're not holding on to it. The worst thing you got in your hand is a friggin' strawberry.
I'm wielding the phone over here.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to call Purple Teddy to call in.
You're going to...
From the chat room, and she'll smack you into place.
Have we had any female callers tonight?
We haven't. We had someone call in from the Breast Cancer Association.
Huh? Wait, time out. Yeah, Tim, I got to hear this story. What's going on?
So this lady calls in, and it was right after you made a comment about the name switch, right? So I thought, like you said, someone was calling in, right? Some woman was going to call
in. Wait, was this the toll-free number they called?
Yes.
No.
And so I answered, I'm like, this is a Chris Ferrillo show. I'm all happy, waiting. And she's like, this is so-and-so, I forget her name now, from the Breast Cancer Association Awareness, or something like that.
Okay, babe, next time that happens, I'm just telling you right now, next time a telemarketer calls in, keep them on the line and make note it as a telemarketer.
Well, I thought she was serious. She's like, this is Diane, I need to speak with Chris Ferrillo. I was like, oh, okay, I think she said Diane. I said, oh, okay, hold on just a second, Diane. I said, I'm still learning how to work the software. Can you hold on just a second?
Oh, no.
So here I am typing it all in, Diane from Breast Cancer Awareness, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, so what's your topic, Diane? What do you call in and talk about?
Oh, and God, I'm like, sorry, that was way too loud. Oh, my God.
And she's like, I said, what did she say? I forget how she said it. I said, this is a radio show, so I'm just now, learning how to use the software. Can you bear with me? She's like, oh, this is a work line? And I said, yes. She said, I'm sorry. I'll make note of that. And she's like, and she hung up, and that was it.
Hey, Tim, there's a good tip. Next time you get a telemarketing call, just answer it. This is the Tim Show.
Well, you know what I do? When I get those people calling to offer me credit cards and such, I'll just, I'll keep them on the line. I'll make them think I'm interested, and then I'll tell them I'm just out of prison for credit card fraud.
Oh my God. That's a good one. Now, see, I think... I think the next time you get something like that, call in, and they're blatantly like a telemarketer, just put them on the line. I mean, just and make note of it there that they're a telemarketer, and then we'll have fun with them. I'll say, this is Chris, and then we'll have some fun with them.
Oh, my goodness.
Is
that the can't beat them, join them kind of thing?
That's great radio. That is great radio. We'll string them along a little bit, you know, and we'll take suggestions from the chat room on how we can take care of the call or the telemarketer. And yeah, what I usually do, Tim, is, well, if I'm feeling impatient, I just say no and I hang up the phone. But if I'm having fun with them and I don't care, and I'll like, uh-huh, yeah, okay, oh yeah, sure, let me go get a pen. And I set down the phone, and I leave it there.
Uh-huh.
And I just leave it there. And just leave it.
Because they won't hang up.
No, they won't. They'll stay there. They want the sale. And by the way, Tim, I used to be a telemarketer.
Oh, really?
What?
Sorry.
Ponzi, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that. Tell the story.
No, in college, there really weren't many summer jobs, and telemarketing was there. And so I sold cable premium upgrades to people who were already cable subscribers. And so we call into the system and everything, and they, you know, we'd come up with, you know, their spiel. I'd always rewrite the spiel, and I did pretty well. I hated doing it though. I didn't feel dirty, but the people hate the cable company, and they hated it back then. I remember one time, this guy, I call up. It was like we were selling Encore, that crappy movie channel that's like $1 a month or whatever, and I think they give it away free now. I call him up. I said, "We're running a special. It's just $1 a month, blah blah blah." And he just laid into me. He just, "Oh, how dare you? Blah, the cable company money, blah blah blah. You always try to blah blah." He laid into me for 10 minutes. I said, "I know, sir. I know. I trust me. I get it. I know. I understand." And I held his hand through the whole thing. And he just yelled and screamed for 10 minutes, and then he stopped. Wait, no, it gets better, Tim. And he stopped. He paused, and he said, "So it's only $1 a month? I said, "Yes." "Go ahead, sign me up." So he just wanted to complain. He just wanted someone to listen to him.
God.
Right? And so I ended up making, I don't know how much, like 60 cents. I don't know how much it was. Or I got a special bonus prize from the prize drawer or whatever the hell the incentives were at that point. But he just wanted someone to listen to. And that's a lot of people who you know, feel so strongly about these issues, whatever issue they may be having with problems, all they want is just someone to scream at. They don't care if it's the right person. They just need someone to scream at. So
random people and start screaming at them.
Well, we tried that with the first Chris Perillo show, but it didn't work out too well. FCC shut us down real quick.
Yeah. I actually used to listen to the show when it was on WHL.
Oh, wow. Way back when. Now,
you're
calling from Pennsylvania, so you must have listened to it when it was in MP3 format.
Correct.
Yeah, that was a while ago. That was like 2001, 2000.
Yeah, I used to burn them and listen to them like as I was drifting off to sleep. It was fun.
Those are vintage, and yes, my voice is one of those voices that you can drift off to sleep to, because it's so nice and it's so warm and wonderful.
What was that supposed to be?
I don't know. It's kind of a Jerry Lewis annoying kind of.
I thought it was more like Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get that?
I did.
I've got one of the worst voices in the world. But one thing that my voice is it's memorable. So.
You're actually very good at mimicking other voices.
Not really.
You are.
You just think I am.
Even in Thai, when we're with my aunt and uncle, my aunt Panan and Uncle Chai.
Chris talked Thai.
Oh my gosh, he's better at repeating the Thai than I am.
Yeah, and she's Thai.
So go figure on that one.
Yeah.
Intriguing.
Well, I will try to stay away from any more Jerry Lewis / Billy Crystal impersonations.
Yes. Please.
For the rest of this show, I'm not going to make any promises for future shows, dude.
Maybe I won't be calling next week then.
Ah, no, Tim, you're welcome to call back anytime. Thanks again, Tim. Any more tips that you have, I'm sure Ponzi will be
very welcome.
Yeah, she'll welcome them with open arms.
Definitely.
All right.
Or no wires. Thanks again, Tim.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, it's been a wonderful 3-hour show. I can't believe that we made it through with it. And honestly, I say we had quite a few callers. I mean, of course, as time goes on, it's going to be more and more difficult to get squeeze callers in because we're going to really unleash the floodgates next week. And let everybody know that we've got live lines, and the word is going to spread And certainly we appreciate everybody's support in what we're doing here with the Chris Perillo Show. Not just the chat room, the people who've been there for years and years and years. In fact, I can say with all honesty, the Locker Gnome chat room has been one of the longest running Locker Gnome communities ever. We've had forums for a little while now, but before then we had some news groups that met an untimely death. But the chat room has been around forever, and the chat room is always there for help. They do a fantastic job at answering questions. Sometimes, you know, they're busy with other things. They may be lurking. They may not see you right away. And certainly, if you see me, I'm probably not going to say anything because I never say anything in the chat room. In fact, case in point, been in there for, what, 3 hours, and I've made, three entries? That's it?
I've been in the chat room, and I have been, heckling Dawes Grady.
Why?
To call in, because he refuses to call. I've said, my feelings are hurt. I'm crying over here.
Oh, come on, babe. You're making it sound like we're desperate for calls here.
Lord Cat comes and hugs me and pets me and gives me love, and Firefly does, and Loki. Everyone does, but Dawes won't call. I told him you had 6 minutes.
It's okay. We've got, honey, this is just the first time out. This was just a test. We were just trying to see if this would actually work. I didn't think I was going to have a screener until you walked in the door, literally, the last minute. I was stalling. I wasn't sure what else to talk about.
I don't know how well I'm doing, but, I'm trying.
So, wait, now, you think that you want to sit in on the show more often now, or?
I'm having fun. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Would you rather be in here than the other room? Because, I mean, I'm talking on the phone. I can't even really hear you talking and taking the calls right there.
I'm having fun. I don't know about how the callers feel. I don't
wait,
know
so would you, who cares about the callers? So what, I kid, would you do it in the same room here?
Sure.
I mean, it's not like, bothering you. I mean, you're somewhat comfortable there.
I'm fine.
Because I say we just have you sit in this room.
Does that cut down on the wire problem?
Oh, most certainly. We wouldn't have to string in. Because I was trying to figure out. Because oh god, I mean, you should see the setup we have here, folks.
We have to take pictures and post.
Oh no, it's way too messy for me to want to share. No,
yeah.
this is way messy.
It's not nice.
I wasn't sure how I was going to allow you to connect to the stack machine because you had to be on the same part of the intranet.
Which part's the stack machine?
That's the stack
big,
or the Comrex
stack of machines.
Well, yeah,
sitting
it's pretty much a mm-hmm. part of what would go in a stack, but it's the Comrex machine. It's the thing you're interfacing with over the web. The
all
call
it looks like to me,
thing.
People, is like a table full of just stuff everywhere. Machines everywhere, right. Wires everywhere.
Okay, enough about the wires. Why don't you take probably what's going to be the last call that we're going to be taking tonight.
Okay, hold on.
So, the phone line is going to be there throughout the entire week. Unfortunately, we will not be answering the phones unless the show is live. 888. Apparently Dawes did call in. 888-747-4556 is the number to remember. 888-PERILLO. And that's something to note for, the next time. If you're listening to the show in MP3 or WMA format, then it's good to know that you can tune in to our shows live every Thursday night at 7 p.m. At Pacific time, I should say, and it runs for 3 hours. I don't know if we plan on changing that time. We've really stuck with that for the most part throughout this entire time. I suppose it really depends a lot on what the majority of listeners want or need. There is an opportunity of possibly going nightly and making the show a little shorter, although for that, we would definitely need a lot more sponsorship support because it's very time-intensive. But certainly, we would not be able to do this show at all without any kind of interaction with the callers. Next week, as a matter of fact, though, we are I will tease this. We've got Jake from 8-Bit Joystick coming in, so be prepared with any kind of gaming questions you might have, or just anything in general you might have. I mean, we'll take any questions, but certainly he has a penchant for gaming and politics, too. I was going to have him in last week, but he had some kind of political rally that he was doing of sorts here in Seattle. And so Jake, 8bitjoystick.com. Just go ahead. You can do a search for that online. You could probably dig it up pretty quick. He was one of the reasons why I ended up getting a couple games for the Nintendo DS and then subsequently selling them. Oh, and speaking of, this is something to run by you. I've got an idea for possibly using the equipment we have in here possibly for another show on another night, maybe with Ponzi or not. But I've got an idea about maybe taking a little bit of selling and putting it into a podcast, in the sense that I know I have a camera I'm trying to get rid of, so I can't find an easy way of doing it. And I'm like, well, why don't I just tell people about it? And the easiest way of telling people about it is through some kind of podcast. So you may be hearing more about some kind of a garage sale kind of podcast from me in the future, depending on how much interest there might be for that. But now that we have the phone lines up, might as well be using them, right? And maybe eventually when we move to our new place, depending on how it's set up, we may actually let other people use the systems as well. Although I don't know if they'll – well, yeah, maybe I'll let them use my phone number. I don't know. That's a little bit in vain for me. Not done in vain. It's vain of me to do. But as long as they just say 7474556, I guess we'll be good to go. So Ponzi's finishing up here with his name, his real name, his non-handle is Grady. He's allowing us to learn that bit of information about him. Some people are pretty sensitive about that. But it's always good to meet people for the first time, at least by voice, especially after chatting with them for as long as we have. And now I don't even know, Ponzi wasn't able to enter in the information for Grady other than his name and that he's calling from Indiana. But what's he calling about?
He's calling in to give you information.
Oh, another person's calling to give me hell. Great.
That's right.
So
automobile conduit.
A what, babe?
I don't know. Let's let Grady tell you about it.
Okay, Grady.
I'm not good at it.
What do you hear? What you get the honor of being the last live caller tonight.
Ooh, ooh.
All right! Yay!
So what's on your mind?
I was going to let you know that ways that I clean my water messes around here is I use the conduit from automobiles. It's like that flexing tube with the slit down the middle.
Oh, yeah?
And I put all my wires in there. They look great, and with the conduits being black, they hide perfectly.
Oh, yeah? Okay, and, where would I be able to pick these up? Just at an auto store?
Yeah, AutoZone, Pet Boys, any automobile stores you have around your city.
Okay, and again, is there a certain brand, or is it just kind of a general part name?
General part name.
Okay. And could you give it to us again?
It's an automobile conduit.
Is it the flexy stuff?
Wires.
Yeah, he's saying it's flexy stuff.
Is it that clear-looking? I think I know what he's talking
about.
He says
it's black.
It's like a black. It has ribs down on the whole tube.
It's ribbed for your pleasure.
Oh, he's on dangerous water there.
Come on, it's 10 o'clock at night, folks. We've gone for 3 hours live with our first call-in show. Give me a break. All right, so it's a conduit there.
I'm gonna be quiet.
Yep. And for Ethernet, I also use the office conduit stuff, like in school, and I put wall jacks up and stuff, run it through that way with my Ethernet.
Is that another type of just like a plastic tubing?
It's actually stuff you find at Home Depot, what they use in all the schools and stuff. And you can get in like beige or white, and it's like running real conduit for electricity.
Okay,
so that's all for Ethernet.
Okay. All right. Well, those things are definitely worth a shot, and I'm sure Ponzi's going to remember them as we drive by these places. You know, when we're out and about, and you know. She says she needs these things. Of course, here's Grady, to be honest with you, this is what happens. Ponzi says, oh, we need to buy this because of this. And then she buys it with every intention to use it, and then it doesn't get used. So, for instance, she got some of these like rubber stoppers you're supposed to put underneath like rugs on hardwood floors.
What?
Mm-hmm.
You bought rubber stoppers. You still have them.
And yes, then,
they didn't get they didn't get used.
Yes, but we need to go into why they didn't get used.
Okay, but why did they get bought if they weren't going to get used?
Well, that stuff is not just for to put under rugs. It's also to put inside cabinets so that your glasses don't actually hit the cabinet.
Sure.
Or the wood.
Sure.
So I thought about it. Do I really want those under the rugs? Because then how am I going to clean? It's a pain in the butt. You have to pick them up. Or you don't really want to glue them to the rugs because the rugs are Persian rugs. And I'm not going to mess up the Persian rugs just so that they don't slide around. I don't know. So that was the whole thought process behind that. So I thought, I'll just use it in the cabinets for the glasses. But then I thought if I cut it to these cabinets and we move in 3 months, why would I do that? if we're not going to stay here.
It's the same thing with cabling or cords. I mean, let's say you put a cord in there and then all of a sudden you need to disconnect it. Then you're going to have to, like, get in there and then you know what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
Babe, I need you to unplug the thing because it's in the thing.
What?
That's what you do.
I do not.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
This is what you say. I'll make breakfast. I'm making breakfast. I made you breakfast.
When did you ever cook for me once?
I did that. I made breakfast in bed that one time. I even took a picture of it, and I got proof.
People, do you know why he took a picture?
Because I never do it.
Only once.
Yes, but it was a special event, Grady. Do you understand?
And he actually, the eggs were actually good, too.
I was amazed myself.
Which just goes on to tell me that I'm deprived.
You are not deprived. You're eating strawberries right now. You're sitting in a chair that's got padding. You've got a roof over your head and a phone on your mouth.
Uh-huh. And who went and bought those strawberries and who repadded those chairs and who brought the pepperoni? And who got Grady to call in? Ooh.
All right, folks. Well, we've had about enough time for this week's Chris Perillo Show. Grady, thanks for the call. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for calling, Grady.
Again, it's the Chris Perillo Show. More information at thechrisperilloshow.com. I'd like to thank every single caller who called in tonight. We were going to have the shows carved up into hour segments available at thechrisperilloshow.com. This happens every single week. Next week's guest is going to be Jake from 8-Bit Joystick. Talking about gaming, possibly a little bit of politics, and of course, still taking live calls. That's when I'm going to open the floodgates, letting everybody know that 888-747-4556 is the number to call in to get more information. Again, we couldn't have done this show without sponsors like Microsoft, specifically the Windows Media Division. Kevin Uangst and Matt Calder really made these things possible. So you can thank them for the reason why we're taking calls and how we're taking calls and everything that's happening. As a matter of fact, I think it's about high time that we pull in either or both of those individuals to let them see, you know, what they're doing and how they're doing and really make it a Microsoft show.
And they're really fun people just in general. I can't wait to go have sushi with Matt. He keeps inviting us. I want to meet his girl.
Really?
No. His better half.
Yeah. They live in Queen Anne.
Yeah. They live in the cool part of Seattle.
We'll talk. Yeah. Right. Whatever. So we'll talk about that, I'm sure, offline. We're taking that conversation offline, folks. I want to thank Limelight Networks for providing the live stream. And Harry Hayes, thank you for remote engineering if you're still listening to this program.
Thanks, Harry.
Either live or not. But again, you folks, it's Chris Perillo. I'm here every single week, and that I know of, it's going to be that way for the foreseeable future. With that, we'll eat you later.
The Windows Media Stream for the live broadcast of the Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.